Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
To everyone that I meet, 'cause I'm feeling spectacular. I love it when we love one another. Give thanks every day for this life, even with a smile on my face. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum, yeah. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum, yeah. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum.
Masi sondele, pila notolo.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Amina Adams, and I would like to welcome you to today's episode of The Everyday Muslim. On this show, what we do our best to address the misconceptions on Islam. We try to foster peaceful coexistence and, of course, guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. And that's starting with ourselves and then, of course, impacting whoever, you know, inshallah ta'ala, our message gets to. So we're going to look at effective mosque management system. And I'm sure you're wondering, since when now? What kind of a physics is that one? Effective mosque management. Believe it or not, it's an entity, is an organization, it's a legal being, and in all honesty, and you know, we should actually give it adequate attention. Just a bit of a background. So the mosque management system plays a crucial role in facilitating the smooth operation and organization of mosques across the country. With a diverse Muslim population, the management system is designed to cater to the specific needs and requirements of the local communities while adhering to Islamic principles. Now, one of the key aspects of the mosque management system is the administration and coordination of religious activities. Now, this would involve our daily prayers, Friday sermons, and of course the Juma prayers, special events such as Ramadan and Eid celebrations. I know Ramadan comes with the itikaf for whoever wants to, you know, take part in it. And all this, we are dealing with human beings gathered in one space, and it sure does need some sort of organization. Now, the system ensures that these activities are properly organized and communicated to the community, enabling them to participate actively and stay connected. Financial management is another aspect, or rather, shall I say, an essential component of the mosque management system. Mosques really, they rely on donations and contributions from the community to meet their operational expenses. Clearly, they're not a money-making venture or entity, so they expect, or their whole livelihood is dependent on the people around them. So the system, the mosque management system we're talking about, it tracks and manages these financial transactions, ensures transparency and accountability. Moreover, the mosque management system facilitates effective communication within the community. Additionally, this system often includes features such as directories and contact information of its members or attendees, as you'd like to say, making it easier for the community members to connect with each other and, of course, with their mosque leaders. Overall, you'll find donation boxes, which serves as a vital tool for efficient and organized administration of the mosque. So it empowers the community by facilitating their active involvement, streamlining financial processes, and fostering a sense of unity and connection among Muslims in that country. Today on the show, inshallah ta'ala, to walk us through the effective mosque movement system is Imam Ridwan Jamiu. He is the Imam at the Lekki Central Mosque here in Lagos. Imam Jamiu Ridwanullah Kayode bagged his LLB in Common and Islamic Law from the University of Ilorin. He attended the Nigerian Law School here in Lagos, the Lagos State Campus, for his Barrister at Law certificate. He obtained his Master's in Law degree, LLM, from the Bayero University in Kano in 2015. He obtained his PhD in Law at the Lagos State University in 2023. He attended Muhyiddin College of Arabic and Islamic Studies, Kulende in Ilorin, for his Thanawiya and Diploma in Islamic and Arabic Education. Imam Ridwan Jamiu is a married counselor. He consults on Islamic social finance and estate planning. He is a member of Nigerian Institute of Chartered Arbitrators. He was a presenter at the International Conference on Islamic Finance, organized by the International Institute of Islamic Banking and Finance, IIBF, at the Bayero University in Kano in 2019. He was a resource person at the workshop organized by the Institute of Islamic Finance Professionals, IIFB, Lagos Chapter in 2017. He has more than 15 published books to his credit. In Islamic Finance, he wrote Wealth Creation and Circulation, an Islamic Perspective. He has written this in Arabic language. He also published a textbook, Teach Yourself Arabic, within a short time, with foreword by professors of Arabic, Professor Ozeini of the University of Ilorin and Professor A.A. Agbari-Gidoma, Al-Hikmah University, also in Ilorin. In Islamic Studies and Jurisprudence, he has published several works for both adults and the youth. He's published books in English and Arabic. Some are adopted as textbooks in some schools. Likewise, in comparative religious studies, I beg your pardon, he also has published several works, among which is Oh God, which is your religion. You want to read that? I've read this, and subhanAllah, the way the title of the book goes, and that's how the entirety of the book is, with a foreword by Professor Olatunji of UITH in Ilorin. He is a Hafiz. If you don't know what Hafiz means, it means that the entirety of the Quran has been memorized by Imam Ridwan Jamiu. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, may Allah make it a hujjah for him on the Day of Judgment. He is currently the Chief Imam of Lekki Central Mosque, Lekki Phase 1, Lagos. Alhamdulillah. Imam Ridwan Jamiu is joining us virtually. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sir.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's good to have you, sir.
Barakallahu feekum.
Ameen. So let's just get straight into it. And of course, I would love for participation from the audience, but let's get through some of the questions that we have prepared for Imam. So the history of mosques is intricately woven into the fabric of Islamic civilization, evolving from simple prayer spaces to community hubs. Throughout the centuries, mosques have played a central role in fostering spiritual growth, education, and community cohesion. As these sacred spaces expanded in complexity, the need for efficient management systems became evident. Now, from the early days of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mosque in Medina to the Grand Mosque of the Islamic Golden Age, each era brought new challenges and opportunities for organizational development. In contemporary times, mosques have served as multifaceted institutions, not only for worship, but also offering educational programs, social services, and community events. Imam, what are the key components of an effective management system for mosques, and how do they contribute to the overall functioning of the masjid?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his blessings and his favor on us. May he perfect his blessings and favor on each and every one of us.
Ameen.
And thank you for inviting me, and thank you, the organizers of this program, for this effort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these efforts weigh heavily on your scales of deeds on the day of your resurrection.
Ameen, ya Rabbi.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and bless our families.
Ameen.
So the major component for effective mosque management, the masjid itself in Islam ordinarily means a place. Masjid is an Arabic word, which is from sajada, masjid. Sajda means to prostrate yourself. So masjid ordinarily means a place to prostrate.
No.
So it is so called because when you are prostrating, that is when you are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's the greatest point of humility. When you lower yourself, you bring yourself completely down to Allah. So with your face, with your hands on the ground, with your knees, with your toes, you know. So doing that for Allah, that is not done for any other being besides Him. So that's why masjid is so called. So masjid ordinarily means a place where to worship Allah. And one of the virtues of a masjid is Allah has referred to it as His house.
No.
You can see in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 125, Allah says, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَنْ طَهِرَ بَيْتِي. And I commanded Ibrahim and Ismail, أَنْ طَهِرَ بَيْتِي, to keep my house always clean. No. To keep my house always clean. So I commanded them, Allah says, بَيْتِي, my house.
No.
So the same thing, if you look at Surah An-Nur, that's the Quran chapter 24 of the Quran, verse 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fi buyutin adina Allahu an turfa." So in houses in which Allah has commanded to be highly honored. So the houses to be honored are the houses of Allah. That is the masjid. So to go into answering the question, the components for effective management of the mosque, was one thing is to have the masjid, another thing is to be effectively managed.
No.
If a masjid is small and we have an effective management, the masjid will serve the purpose it's meant for, the community and the society at large.
No.
But if a masjid is very big, you have spent so much amount of money on it, but it is not effectively managed, the masjid will just be like a tourist center or something that will just be there. It won't be an asset and it may not bring any spiritual or social progress. There's no value to it. So if we now look at this, the masjid from this angle, you see, the issue of effective management goes to having an effective manager. So having an effective manager. And when you are talking about an effective manager, it starts with having an effective imam.
Right.
So if you don't have a good imam, the mosque can never be effectively managed. Because if you have people who are very good in administration, who are very good at this and that, so in the worldly affairs, it doesn't make them to be qualified to govern or manage the masjid very well.
Sure.
Because people don't come to the masjid just because of the administrative aspect of it, but because of the spiritual aspect of it first and foremost. So it is Allah that people are drawn to in the masjid. So it's someone who guides them to Allah that people should be first and foremost drawn to, which is the imam. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid down for us the criteria to appoint an imam for the masjid. Imamship is not meant to be something that will be...
It's not inherited.
It's not inherited. You cannot say, Imamulola, which means automatically when the father dies, the son, rises up to take up the position of his father, even though he may not be qualified. So there are certain qualifications the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us before an imam should be appointed. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya ummul qawma akrawhum li kitabillah, the person to lead a people who is the most learned in the book of Allah. Fa'in kanu fi likiraati sawa'a. When you have now a number of people who are all qualified when it comes to the book, the knowledge of the book of Allah, and you want to pick one of them to be an imam, fa'a'lamuhum bi sunnah. Then look for which amongst them is most learned in the hadith, in the sunnah of the Prophet. If you still discover that amongst the people being considered for this position, all of them are virtually very learned in the Quran and the sunnah, then you now look at فَأَقْدَمُهُمْ هِجْرًا. Look at the one, the first to get to that place amongst them. Or the first to do hijrah, where it is applicable. So where that is not applicable, the first person to get to that locality, because that person is expected to be well conversant with the society.
Community and the people.
He understands them very well and their idiosyncrasies and we'll be able to appreciate things better than someone who is new or strange in the environment.
Now,
in our study, if they are all the same, when it's we consider this this one as well, then for akodamuhum sinna, then you choose the one who is the eldest amongst them to lead them. So this is where age comes in.
Allahu Akbar. So the bottom of the criteria.
Yes. The age now comes last. So you can see this is where it starts. When you have an imam that has these qualities in him, so believe me, you are going to, you have set a very good way towards achieving an effective mosque management. So this is the first component.
So that imam, you've sort of elucidated that that's the key person. Now, just a side question to that. Should that imam also double as the administrator? So in terms of, should we be separating spiritual leadership from administrative leadership?
When we are talking about administrative leadership and spiritual leadership, one, it depends on the size of the masjid and the nature of its programs. So there are some places whereby the people are not much diverse. So you have a heterogeneity of opportunity of people. People are almost the same, and the level of education is not that that high, and the number of people who come to the masjid, and so the imam should double as the spiritual leader and administrative leader. But having said that, because when you are talking about the masjid and the imam, we have said, is the key person in the masjid. So he forget the kind of imam that the Prophet emphasized, mentioned in the hadith. Definitely, you need to sustain the imam.
Right.
To sustain the imam, most generally, is a utilitarian wakfu. A utilitarian wakfu is different from an income-generating wakfu. Wakfu means an endowment. Utilitarian wakfu means a wakfu whereby you need to generate money elsewhere to sustain it.
Right.
Because it doesn't generate money by itself.
Right.
So the people coming to the masjid, there is no money they are paying apart from donations. The mosque does not give out any money in any way. People just use it and go.
Right.
So there should be a way to sustain the imam first and foremost.
Right.
So that's an aspect, I believe, of this talk.
No.
So to sustain the imam, okay.
No, yes, she's just going. That's my next question.
Okay.
So you're taking me to the next question already.
To sustain the imam, there must be a way of generating income.
True.
To generate, if the imam is generating income for the mosque, to sustain the mosque and sustain himself, the imam will become doubtful. And his actions will be suspicious. So in order to insulate himself, there must be other people who should be brought in to assist him in this area. Those people he trusts. So you can, we need to have an account number, for example, in the name of the masjid, not in the name of the imam.
Sure.
So with that, we can look for someone who can volunteer to be an accounting officer of the masjid. So when people donate any money, these are people who sign the money to go into the account and to go out of the account. And a small administrative committee may be formed. So from people that the imam respects, for example, so these people will manage the affairs of the finances, how to generate it, when it is generated, how to use it. So they are the ones to determine the amount the imam will be paid as a salary. But it's so unfortunate that many masajid, the imams are not paid. That is why they look for some funny means of generating incomes for themselves. So the imam must be paid. So because the services the imams are rendering are no less important than the services other people render for the spiritual services, and they are the ones speaking also Allah every day, at least 5 times in a day. So we need to let the members of the mosque realize that this person who leads you to Allah every day, who guides you on your deen, you should set apart some of your income, monthly salary, for example, or any other income. That is the percentage I must set apart for the masjid that I use as facility to worship my Lord and the imam who leads me. So this money generated, the committee will determine what to give the imam and how to appoint someone who will be doing the cleaning of the imam, of the masjid.
General maintenance.
Yes, general maintenance. There should be somebody who should be, imam should not be the one that will be sweeping, that will be spreading the mat.
True, and cleaning, you know, the conveniences.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. For maintenance, it's very, very important because most of our masajid are not properly maintained. When you use the toilets of some masajid, in fact, you may vomit before you leave that place. And there are some masajid, when you go with white clothes, if you are not careful, the clothes will turn into something else before you leave that masajid, so because they are not well maintained.
No.
So there should be a major component of mosque management, there should be maintenance.
No.
So the administrative committee will be the ones to also look into how to generate money for this.
No.
We pay the per bill. You use facilities for the masjid.
The lighting and fittings need to be replaced.
Yes, and also to facilitate this, you need funds, you need a lot of things.
No.
So there should be a committee because money is involved and the imam must be insulated and there just will be transparency. So there must be an administrative committee that will be helping the imam in achieving some of the goals of the masjid.
Now, alhamdulillah, imam, so let me just let me sort of summarize what you've said, and that's because I'm in my head as you spoke, I had two masjids in my head. I have a small masjid and I have the big masjid like a central mosque, for example. And as you spoke, you spoke about ideal situation would be to have these powers separated. Let the imam face the spiritual work, let the admin there be a committee set up to administer the entirety of the masjid, including the fees of the imam and all of that. I like the fact that separation has occurred. However, I would like to ask, what is ideal? Should the imam report to the admin committee, or in terms of hierarchy, are they at par such that they now both report to a superior authority? How should that play out? Who should report to who? So that you don't have the imam then being subjected to the whims and caprices of the admin committee. So what's the ideal situation in terms of hierarchy? Who should report to who?
Well, this is an area that is very critical when it comes to the mosque management, because we are talking about the masjid here and we are also talking about the community.
No.
For example, our masjid here, I would say one thing is Lekki Central Mosque, another thing is Lekki Muslim Ummah.
MashaAllah.
So Lekki Muslim Ummah is the community.
No.
So we have a community leader.
Mm.
And there's Lekki Central Mosque.
Mm.
A leader of the community who is the president can never be any president for a masjid.
Mm.
You have an imam for the masjid, not president of a masjid.
True.
But the president of a community.
True.
And also, it depends on the kind of registration that is done for the community or its masjid.
Mm.
So in most cases, a masjid is registered as an incorporated trustee.
Mm.
So as an incorporated trustee, those who are known to law are the trustees themselves.
True.
So in some places, the trustees are not directly running the community, including the mosque, but they have an executive arm that does that. That executive arm is not actually recognized by the law that incorporated the incorporated trustees, but the constitution recognizes the executive. So we have three tiers of leadership or in the masjid. We have the imamship, and we have the executive, and we have the board of trustees. But one thing is very important. When we define rules in a written document, like when we have in the constitution, and everybody is on the same page, so things will be done effectively. But generally, the imam, being the one because of whom people come to the masjid, yes, it's because of the imam people come to the masjid, because it's the leader of people, and the masjid is meant to guide people and lead them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No.
So his spiritual rule and his spiritual leadership must always be acknowledged, and that respect must always be there. If the imam is respected, definitely it will translate to the respect for other arms that are meant to make the progress, the masjid, work effectively. But if the imam is not respected, definitely people will not respect other people, because they can't stand the position of the imam. So they can't stand the position of the imam. There are many masajid, if their imams leave them, they know that they are just nothing. So they are administering nothing, because the support people have is because of the sentiment they have for the masjid, just because of the quality of the imam they have and the services it does. So this is why it's a critical area. But the imam is the leader of any Muslim community, and the imam is the leader of the masjid
as well.
So yes, but when it comes to administrative, the best thing is to have the kind of division of labor. So in administration, these are the people who handle it. So it helps the imam too, especially when it comes to the issue of money. So you know, imam is not much involved in the issue of money.
True.
So if there is any, these are the people who should be held responsible.
True.
And also,
so he's able to focus on the work that is his primary role.
He's able to focus to teach people, to guide people, to teach children, and bring up the programs that will be beneficial to people and the society.
No.
So imam should not bother too much about the administrative if we have competent people who are doing it. But it's meant to guide each committee or each administrative committee that we may have for the masjid. That's why I said respect must be mutual, and that respect is very important. And the imam should be seen as the spiritual leader of the community or the society or the masjid, as the case may be.
Suffice to say, imam, from what you've explained now, is such that the imam reports to the board of trustees. He's directly linked to the board of trustees. That's the that's the understanding. Am I correct?
Yes, if any masjid will be registered, definitely it will be registered as an
incorporated
trustees.
Yeah.
And when it is incorporated like that, we must have a board of trustees.
True.
And we have the board of trustees. Imam will be a member, and imam could be the leader, the chairman of that board of trustees. Depends on the society.
Okay.
But wherever the imam is not the chairman for the BOT, it means that the imam reports
to the BOT. Thanks for the clarification. And you know, when you spoke about, I like the fact that you mentioned that the imam is the one who draws people to the masjid. And we've observed instances where certain individuals will stop coming to the masjid for, you know, due to dissatisfaction with the imam. Maybe they don't like the way he communicates with them, or the way he even gives his sermon, or what have you. Simultaneously, frequent disputes arise between the imam and the committee. We've seen instances where such happen, either as a result of related to finances or just generally miscommunication. How does effective communication play a role in maintaining harmony and engagement within the mosque community? And what communication channels do you recommend are most effective?
When it comes to communication, I think this is one of it's a major topic that every one of us needs to properly be trained to, because sometimes we may know, just as we train our children, you don't say that, "I greet the elders." Have you greeted them? You don't even greet me. You don't talk like that to your elders. "I say, sorry. Say thank you." To say you are welcome. "You sir, you smart." Just as we correct our children, so we ourselves, we need to really develop ourselves on good communication. In Yoruba, they say pelela ko, pelela bo. Someone who trips off, a person falls down, and you say, So when the person gets off, he may say, "Thank you, thank you." And the person that falls down, and you say, "Epele." When the person gets up, he will take up a fight with you, and you have said the same thing, but don't use the same manner in saying it.
No.
This is why in the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, Quran chapter 33, verse 71, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. 71, 72, yuslih lakum a'mala wa yakfir lakum dhunuba wa man yuti' Allah wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan 'azima. I think most of our khutbah, the imam, they quote these verses of.
No.
So it's a very important one every one of us needs to understand. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, believers, taqullaha, fear Allah, wa qulu qawlan sadida. Say appropriate words. Say right words. Say an effective, use an effective word. Allah is talking about effective communication here.
No.
You can salvage your marital relationship sometimes, but through effective communication. If you can just up the way you talk to your husband, for example, or the way your husband talks to his wife, you can change the whole, you know, the narrative of the family. Yes. Even the way you talk to your children, sometimes it makes them to become hard-hearted. They become stubborn because of the way you talk to them.
Yeah.
And when you change the way you talk to them, you can see when they become friendly with you, they listen to you more. So a husband that shouts at his wife, for example, you may not get the best of that woman. She may not be happy with that. And if she's not happy, you too, you will be not happy. The same thing, the wife that shouts at her husband. So that is why effective communication is very important. So, and the imams need it more than any other people because they are the ones that are actually, they are meant to communicate. So the imam must be trained on effective communication, not only in the imparting the message, but also the language to be used. So the beauty of the language and the speech, presentation out of public speaking. So all these, the imam needs to be trained on the needs and the interpersonal leadership generally. It's very important to know how to talk to people. When you have a business, if you want to keep your clients or your customers, you have to develop a way of talking to them politely. You must be listening. You must be given the positive feedback and things like this. The same thing when you want to keep your jamaah. So you need to know how to talk to them, and you want to keep your committees together. You want to mosque administration. You want to go peacefully with each other. It's very important to know how to communicate. So, but there is an aspect. I think it is the imams themselves. Maybe even the imams may need a kind of a symposium or whatever, or a conference or the trainers. Program in order to guide the imam, and that is one of the reasons why we at Lekki Muslim Ummah here, we normally organize imams conference once in a year, and this is one of the aspects that we really emphasize. May Allah guide us right.
SubhanAllah, I kept on smiling and grinning as you spoke, and when you hinged on training, I talked about training a few times, and that's because SubhanAllah, I haven't opened the phone lines yet, but our regular customers are here. Somebody has a question for you. He says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning in the studio and good morning to the imam. I would like to find out if there are specified courses on mosque administration and management. If there are, should recruitment and suitability of persons for the position of an imam be associated with having such a qualification in addition to the qualification in the Islamic knowledge and sciences? That's a question from one of our listeners, an ardent listener. Imam, sir.
Okay. Thank you. May Allah bless you. And wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. To have a particular course for that, as far as I'm aware, Lagos State University of Lagos, UNILAG, started a course under Islamic Studies Department recently about mosque management.
MashaAllah.
So you just started something on that. I think it's just a 6-month program for anyone who wishes to join them. Perhaps you want to become an imam, or the imams too, to have some certificate, because many imams do not have any, they are not certified in any way, so they are just
learning as they go.
Or just by default. So you don't have any person who can be the imam to you, and that is one under UNILAG. There is a particular course. And I think Al Hikmah University also has something on that. So other programs that can do in order to develop ourselves as Imam. We have it under IOU, International Open University.
By
Dr. Bilal Phillips. So it used to be called Islamic Online
University.
So they have some programs so that the Imams can attend in order to develop themselves. And there are some other organizations that organize some program seminars for Imam, like the one I mentioned for Lekki Central Mosque. We do it on the May Day, on Workers' Day. That's May 1st of every year. So the other one coming up on the, I think it's going to be on Tuesday, Wednesday this year. It's going to be a public holiday. So we normally have about 300 Imams here, collected from different parts of Lagos State. Yeah. So we give them certificates. It's a one-day program. So if we can if you have opportunity to organize this kind of programs to more of it for the Imams. Lagos State Central Mosque also organized one recently for seminars for Imam. Then in Niger State, we have this Islamic Trust. Islamic Trust?
Okay.
By Aja Limu these people. They are doing very, very well. So they have so many programs that they organize for Imams and Islamic social workers, you know, in order to promote them and develop them so that they can deliver effectively. And we have some books too written on this, but there are not so many. Like in our library here, I think we have a book for Islamic workers. So which is a very nice book, and one can get a lot of ideas in it about effective Muslim image.
MashaAllah. Jazakumullah khairan, Imam. I really love to take a break. Just a 1 minute breather and we'll be right back. Please stay with us.
MashaAllah.
يا من صليت بكل الأنبياء يا من في قلبك رحمة للناس يا من ألفت قلوبا بالإسلام يا حبيبي يا شافعي يا رسول الله بأمي وأبي فديتك سيدي صلاة وسلام عليك يا نبي
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, it is Everyday Muslim right here live on WFM 91.7. We'll be looking at mosque management system, effective mosque management system, and Imam Ridwan Jami of the Lekki Central Mosque is with us here. He's joining us virtually, and we've been talking about different components and different aspects of running an effective mosque. To be a part of today's show, you can call us on 07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can send us SMS or WhatsApp to 070-317-56537. 070-317-56537 is the number to send SMS or WhatsApp, and we'll be happy to take your messages. Of course, if you do call us, please state your name and where you're calling us from, and ensure that you've muted your radio set so the call can be a smooth one. Right, Imam, sorry for just dropping off on you like that. Jazakumullah khairan for staying on. So we talked. You mentioned something about social aspects. So there's a question about, considering the diverse needs of the community, what initiatives can masjids implement to provide this educational, social, and spiritual services effectively, so that it's an all-encompassing, like a typical Islamic center, so that it's not just a place of worship.
One, the masjid is a place of worship. And the worship in Islam means anything you do to please Allah. This may be a ritual, it may be economic things, it may be economical, it may be spiritual, it may be this and that. So it may be educational. Once the goal is meant to promote Islam or defend it, I mean, so economic, it may be social, it may be spiritual. Once the goal is meant when the goal is to promote Islam and to develop the society and the Muslim community, for example, then it becomes an act of worship.
Mm.
So the masjid, the worship in itself is not meant to be salat alone. The masjid is not meant to be a place of salat alone.
No.
The masjid is meant to be a multi-purpose Islamic center,
no.
A community hall, so where people come for different purposes. So, for example, in order to make the mosque work effectively, so on the educational aspect, the socio-economic, spiritual, and ritual aspect, we need to properly study the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mosque administration system.
Hmm.
So we need to study him, and we need to study his administration, the way he administered the masjid. Take, for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to make any important decision on war, it used to be in the masjid.
Hmm.
And that is where he used to hold his court as well, because he was a judge as well. That the masjid used to be the court. And at the initial stage of Islam, courts used to hold in the masjid. But they used to sit in the masjid,
right,
not elsewhere. Until when things began to expand, that is when they took it to another center. And the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also a mediation center. So they used to mediate there. When there was any dispute between people, they used to go to the masjid, and then we find a resolution to their disputes.
Hmm.
The same thing, it was an educational center. So all these people we are talking about, the great personalities in Islam, talking about Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, they memorized the Quran, they did that. We are talking about Aisha, about all these great personalities in Islam, both men and women. So where did they learn?
Hmm.
Not a single school was built during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was inside his masjid.
Hmm.
So that is why today, when you go to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see a very functioning library. There is a big library inside there. And there is a university in the haram.
Hmm.
University is being run in the haram itself.
Wow.
I know that of Mecca. There is a university that is being run there. So that is how a masjid is meant to be. So a place where people will always be going.
No.
People will do itikaf, it's part of it. So there's a point I missed.
No.
Let me get the question again.
So it's just about, I like the way you subtly corrected when I said it's not just a place of worship, it's a place for everything, an Islamic center. And so spirituality, social aspects, educational aspects, all that should be happening at the masjid. And I like the fact that you said everything we're actually doing is act of worship, so long as it's done to please Allah, right? So whether educational, socioeconomic, spiritual, whatever it is that we're thinking of, then, it should be done at the masjid. So it's about managing it effectively, initiatives that masjids can come up with to ensure this is managed effectively. In addition to that, Imam, sorry to put a B part of the question. When you said it's a place where people should come to regularly, what then is the place of this big masjid that are locked up at certain times and is not accessible? If it's a place where people should always come to, it's a place where it's a hub, everything and anything should happen there, right? Islamically, of course. So why are certain masjids on the lock and key, and how do you address that? So you can answer these two together. Initiatives that can bring us all together, and then how do we address the issues of certain masjids being locked up?
Now, to achieve this, the initiatives that can bring people to the masjid and make it a help for the community and the Muslims. So one, as I said before, it depends on the kind of imam you have.
Mm.
So if you don't have a good imam, definitely all your efforts, so we just run down the drain.
Mm.
So even if you have ideas, good ideas, the imam may not welcome it.
Mm.
So if the imam is not educated, for example, or is educated but is not exposed, so you may not be able to achieve anything. And if a masjid, if you don't have an effective masjid, effective mosque management. Some masajid that are being controlled by the royal houses. So in those, you may not have much say. The imam doesn't have any say because he does whatever the royal family or the king bids him to say. So in that sense, the mosque may be under the lock and key, just like we are talking about the London Central Mosque. So beautiful masjid, and it was built, it is purpose built. So because we have so many aspects to it, the library should be there, a place of giving speech, a purpose of it, but nothing is happening. So you only use it only on Fridays. After Friday prayers, it's locked again. That's where it ends. Except you want to go there for tourism, for sightseeing. And the masjid is not actually meant for this. So that's one of the challenges. If the masjid is under the control of a royal family, not a particular committee that is free to act. And also because of the level of awareness and understanding of the people, so that may militate against the mosque playing its role in the society.
No.
So sometimes you see people fighting for who becomes the imam. Mm-hmm. And if you look at most of these people fighting for it, none of them actually qualifies to be ahead of to be an imam.
No.
And they are fighting, they may even be doing fetish things just to, because they don't actually have understanding. So having said this, so some of the things that we can do to make a place of the masjid a place that will be attractive or attracting people to it, one is that the salat itself. The 5 daily salat must be observed in the masjid.
No.
And you have an imam that will be dedicated for this, not the imam that will have to be there for Fajr, when it is Zuhri or Asri or Maghrib Isha. So you have to be looking for any other person to pray because the masjid cannot even support the imam. Or the imam who is the imam, and also he has a carpentry job that he has to go and do. And like I said, it depends on the community. So there is nothing bad imam combining being an imam and being a carpenter, for example, being an imam, being a lawyer or whatever, together. So it depends on the kind of the nature of the work.
But I think your message is clear. The point is his primary role of being an imam shouldn't be hampered by whatever other activities that he gets involved with. That's what it is.
And in order for the imam to be fully dedicated and committed, the community must support him. So that the primary role the imam is meant to play in the masjid and the society, he'll be able to play it.
No.
Secondly, it must be an educational resource center.
Mm.
So one, madrasa should be going on in the masjid.
Mm.
There must be tahfiz in the masjid. I remember the first time I came to Lekki Central Mosque, in the evening, everything will just be,
after Maghrib, salam alaikum, salam alaikum, everybody go your way.
Everybody go away. No, nothing at all. I dreamed that this place, I would like to be hearing the voices of the Quran being recited every morning and evening.
Mashallah.
And alhamdulillah, this is what has been achieved through the Lekki Quran Memorizing Center that Allah used us as a facility.
Facilitator.
As a means of actualizing this.
No.
And now we have more than 50 students here who are living here with us. So in the hostel of the college, and the memorizing Quran. So every morning you see them sitting in different circles and teaching.
I think we may have lost you, Imam. Hello, assalamu alaikum. I think we may have lost him for a few seconds there, but and Imam's talking about the Lekki Memorization Center right there within the premises of the Lekki Central Mosque. So if you've never heard about it, you want to take a trip down there. There's actually a hostel facility there, and Quran is being taught at the masjid. There are a lot of other activities there going on. If you want to be a part of the call, just part of the show, just before we leave, you have the opportunity to call in 07000-917-917 is number to call as we try our utmost best to reconnect with Imam. I have a assalamu alaikum, salam alaikum. As a follow-up to the first question read out, we all know that most of our imams come from the traditional madrasa system and may not be able to access some of the courses mentioned, including that of IET in Mina. How can people like the imam become a bridge between the graduates of these madrasas for the gaps in their educational system, which does not equip them on leadership in effective mosque management? I recognize that traditional Islamic education inculcates this, but obviously it is not built into the curriculum of traditional education in the madrasas, which are producing a larger portion of our imams nationally. How can people like the Imam create program in local languages to bridge the gap for this generation of our imams? You didn't put your name, but we got your question. Is Imam back? We don't have him back, unfortunately. And anyways, it's almost time up for the show. So this last message that came through, but I can respond on behalf of the imam, and that's just because he had talked about the different courses being run here and there, even at the imam is back. Assalamu alaikum, imam. Okay, we'll still try to connect back to imam. So basically he's mentioned about the conference of imams that holds every year. It's a symposium, it's a training ground for imams. So tell this local imams that you have access to please at least attend the is every May Day at the Lekki Central Mosque. That is a free event, so they can go there and get trained. He mentioned, yes, the IET in Mina that he mentioned, if they cannot access it for whatever reasons, there are other places. I think what we can do for you, caller, or the person that sent that message, please go to the Muslim Public Affairs Center website, locate the show Everyday Muslim, and inshallah ta'ala will have detailed response for you. We'll get that from imam, so we can list all the various places you can get trained, so that we can brush up, bridge that gap between the local traditional system and what imam is describing now as the effective management of the mosque. We are literally shutting down on the show today, so subhanAllah, we're almost out of time. If you still want to put a call through, 07000 917 917 is the number to call. You can still drop a message, SMS or WhatsApp, on 070 317 5657. We'll be looking at effective mosque management, and I know some of you are wondering, all he's saying is describing masjids outside the country. No, this is real life. It's right here in Lagos. It's Lekki Central Mosque, and I know a few other masjids are towing that line. You can upgrade your masjid to this. Just get involved. How do you get involved? Be the one who sponsors the salary of the imam. Be that one who sponsors the madrasa teachers. You cannot have, you know how much hundreds of thousands you pay for your children to go to kindergarten and all of that, and then you want a tuition-free madrasa. Or worst case, you don't even want to give any time to the teacher, and then you expect that he doesn't cut corners. He will cut corners because he also needs to survive, just the way you're surviving. So you can be a part of an effective mosque management system by getting involved. Have an amount that you're donating every month to the effective running of the masjid, either for general maintenance. You did hear imam say fuel needs to be bought to run. You complain that it's always hot when you go there. Buy fans, buy an AC, install the AC. Do that. That's your contribution. Every time anybody goes to the masjid to pray, in a comfortable place, he's happy to be there. There's a welcoming, soothing smell that meets him. Beautiful fragrance, subhanAllah. He will make dua for you. So every one of us needs to get involved in an effective management, in a mosque management system. And I think that's how far we can go on the show today. Thank you so much for being a part of the show, working with us on this journey. Unfortunately, Imam got cut off a few minutes to the end, but alhamdulillah for all the nuggets he shared with us before he went off. I think it's a good place to draw the curtain. We'll see you same time next week when we bring you another beautiful package of the Everyday Muslim. My name is Amina Adams, and this is me leaving you with a beautiful nasheed to warm your week. We'll see you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wake, wake, waking up in the morning to takbirat al-Eid. I put on my finest shoes and my finest Eid outfit.
stop calling up my la-la-la loved ones, wishing them Eid al-Sa'eed. Jump in the car and head to the masjid to praise Allah to Eid. The day we've